wow. It is a good day to be in the family of God, in the house of the Lord. Amen. And kids are heading down to Connect Kids for the last week, because next week Kids Jam starts. And it will be starting at the beginning of the service. So they get the whole time down there with the team. That's exciting. And we're going to see some new kids coming in for that. So that's exciting. Amen. It is good today to have a mostly full house this morning. Still some people missing, but we haven't had this much of everyone here probably since before Christmas. So it's good to see the whites of your eyes. It is good. Apparently, Wyerton Willie, the Ontario groundhog, and Shubenacadie Sam are at odds. Wyerton Willie says it's going to be a short winter and an early spring, and of course, Shubenacadie Sam says six more weeks of winter. Shoot that guy! We like Wyerton Willie. Anyways, we probably have not seen the end of Old Man Winter, but that's okay. I was saying to Pastor Graham as I pulled up, picked him up this morning, and it was 1 year ago. He's not here to hear us say this. He went, oh, there he is. I was going to talk about you. No, it's 1 year since he and Janelle joined us. So, yay. And, as I'm pulling away from his driveway, I'm like, 1 year ago, this snowbank was three times as high as it is this year. So, I hope it hasn't stored it all up for the last 6 weeks of winter, but we'll see. Good. So, our message today is terrible grammar. Our administrator in the office freaked out when I gave her the title, because it just hurt to type it, I think. We'll get to that in a moment. I also want to mention that next week we are starting a series called Got Fruit, on releasing the character of Christ in your life. It's going to be a series on the gift, on the fruit of the Spirit. Little bit of a different take on it, a little bit of a different look at it. Looking at how the working out of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is not just the Holy Spirit's job. There's a partnership that needs to happen in order for that to be released in our lives. And so we're going to get into that next week. And that's, what's that? Sounds delicious. Good. Good. And that series is going to lead us right up to Palm Sunday, getting ready for Easter. So we're going to dig into releasing the character of Christ in your life. But today, the gooder news. The gooder news. What if the gospel, and gospel means good news, right? Gospel means good news. That's it just comes from Old English. Godspell, which means good news. What if the good news is gooder than you ever imagined? What if it's gooder? Just keep grinding it in there. Some of you have heard a version of the gospel that says God is an angry judge who's coming and waiting to punish all who are disobedient, and that Jesus happened to jump in between and took our punishment, and so now God has to let you into heaven. Some of you have heard a gospel that kind of sounds like that. But I want to suggest to you that the true good news, the good news that we find all the way through Scripture, is so much better than that. I want to read a few verses from 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses of 1 John chapter 3 this morning. And then as we unpack the meaning of these verses, we will explore a little bit of what this gooder news is all about. So let's dive in. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Okay, so we're going to unpack this a bit this morning. We're going to go kind of verse by verse and walk through what is this actually saying to us about the gospel and about who God is. So first of all, God is a Father who loves. I don't want to minimize the fact that we will all stand before God one day and give account of our lives. I don't want to minimize that fact. That is truth. That is Bible. That is reality. And none of us likes the idea that we answer to anyone, because that's called human nature. Right? We want to be our own God. We want to run our own show. But the reality is we will stand before God and give an account of our lives one day. When Jesus returns to set up His kingdom on earth, God will judge. The Bible says, and the creeds of the church say, that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. It's a reality. But He doesn't father like a judge. He judges like a father. That is worth saying again. He doesn't father like a judge. He judges like a father. Some of us struggle with this image of God as our father because of our personal experiences with fatherhood. One of the greatest challenges that we have is that we tend as human beings to paint the face of our own father on the face of Father God. We tend to see God as Father through the eyes of our own experience with fatherhood. And we see God as He's a father, but He fathers like a judge. But I want you to hear today that He is different than any father you've ever met or experienced. That He is the Father you should have had. He is a good, good Father. And that He doesn't father like a judge, but He judges like a father. The primary revelation we have throughout Scripture of what God is like is that He is like a father. And I want to encourage you today to push past some of the things that there might even be some emotion rising up in you that makes it hard for you to hear what I'm even saying this morning about God being your Father. Try to push past that, and I'm going to try to push through it too and meet you in a place where the Father can reveal something new to you about Himself today. He's a Father who calls us higher because He knows what we're capable of. But He's a Father who loves with a gentle and a tender love that wants to heal our pain, wants to see us succeed. And yes, Pastor Graham, He is a gooder Father. He just texted me, He's a gooder Father. To understand the love of the Father, we have to not only understand that He's a different Father than we've ever known, but we also have to understand that His love is a different kind of love than we've ever known. Not only is He a different kind of Father, but His love is a different kind of love. Love is something our culture has talked increasingly more about since the 60s. The sexual revolution of the 60s, where there was a lot of talk about love, but it meant something very different. And the love that our culture talks about is generally attached to conditions, and it's generally attached to, in fact, the love that our culture primarily talks about is an agreement between two people where they enter into an agreement to use each other to fill the emptiness of their own desires and their own souls. It's very self-motivated. But God's kind of love, agape love, the kind of love that we read about in Scripture, is a love that that chooses to empty Himself in order to fill us. That chooses to sacrifice of Himself so that we might be blessed and made whole. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God's love equals laying it all down, equals giving, equals pouring out of Himself for us. God's love is not about taking, it's about giving. He saw the mass of humanity that was spiritually, morally, and emotionally bankrupt and empty. And so He emptied Himself of His glory, descended into our darkness to provide by His own sacrifice a way that we could fill our emptiness with Him. It sounds crazy, and it is, because nobody loves that way but God. Second Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." I'll read that again. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty, you might become rich." Poured Himself out so that we could be filled. In fact, God redefined love. We talked already about John 3:16. I want to read 1 John 3:16. Same author, different book. 1 John 3:16. "This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." We thought we knew what love was until God came in Jesus and changed everything. Changed the game. Showed us what love truly is, that God would enter into our space, would lay down his life for us. He redefined love, and then he said, now go and love like me. Let your perception of love be redefined by what Jesus has done, and go and do likewise. We are empowered to and able to love that way because the one who loved that way now lives on the inside of those who know him. Amen? Secondly, God wants to make you his child. How great is the love Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Bible says God has adopted you into his family and has lavished his love on you. God is not a withholder. He's lavished his love on you by calling you his son or his daughter. And if you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, first of all, this morning I want to tell you I am so glad you're here. Maybe you aren't even sure about all this God and Jesus stuff, and yet you had the courage to come and check it out. But I want to say that I don't think it's an accident that you're here this morning. I believe the same Spirit that prompted someone to invite you or is the same Spirit that drew you here in some inexplicable way and wants you to hear today that you are loved by the Father. That you don't have to go through life wondering whose you are because God wants to make you his child. People in the world today are desperate for identity. They want to belong. They want to have something or someone define their existence. And so they grab onto something, anything, to help them understand who they are. So they wrestle with gender identity and they wrestle with sexual orientation identity. They wrestle with their identity because they need something, someone to tell them who they are. Don't judge them. Because where were we when they needed to hear who they are? Where was the church when they were crying out for someone to help them understand their identity? Instead, we need to love them and go to them and tell them what the Father says about them. That you matter to the Heavenly Father. The same love that loved you before you cleaned up your life is poured out for them. Amen? The good news is gooder than you dared to believe. It is good enough to reach into every subculture and into the dark places of lost identity and to speak worth and meaning and value to the worst sinner and the most broken person. I don't do this lightly. But we're going to watch a video, and it's 5 minutes. That's an eternity in a sermon. But this is scripture after scripture. It's called the Father's Love Letter. And I want you to just soak in it. I want you to receive it. I want you to open your heart and hear what the Word of God says, what your Heavenly Father says about who you are.
You are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future is always fulfilled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you the same. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my need. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been a father, and will always be a father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God.
That's the posture of your Heavenly Father toward you. It's His heart toward you. I'm going to get all kinds of questions after the service, so I will make that link available to you after today. The world doesn't know how good He is. The world doesn't know how good He is. Our scripture here says the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a stranger and an alien in this world. That's what the Bible says. You live in the darkness of this world like someone who just doesn't fit anymore. You struggle with the language. You struggle with the things people value, the things people talk about. You don't always get the jokes, and you long for home. People around you think you're a bit weird, and that's totally okay. We need to be okay with not fitting in. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 in the King James Version says that we are a peculiar people. Some of you are more peculiar than others. But all of us are a bit peculiar. And that's okay. The world doesn't yet understand us because they don't yet know our Heavenly Father and how good He is. That is our job. That's our job. To show the goodness of God. If the world thinks God is something other than good, then we're not yet doing our job the way He called us to do it. If they think God is grumpy instead of joyful, maybe we're a little too grumpy. If they think God is hateful instead of loving, maybe it's because we are sometimes hateful instead of loving. I think if we are representing the heart of the Father God well, after 15 minutes with us, people ought to say, "Wow, I'd like to meet your people. And I'd like to meet your God." Amen, John. In fact, in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus puts it this way. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's our job to show how good God is. God has an incredible plan for our future. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The hope we have for the future is one of the most important things that we have to tell the world. One of the best kept secrets of the church. with a coronavirus panic going on, and climate fear, climate change fear, and nuclear saber rattling in the Middle East, the world is fearful of the future. The world is uncertain. The world is saying we have no idea what's going to happen, but it could be terrible. And the world needs to know that God has renovation plans for this world. That doesn't mean that we can or should be sloppy with the care for the planet. Right? I mean, you're going to get a new body someday. That doesn't mean you just eat potato chips and lay on the couch and wait for it. We take care of this body until He gives us a new one. We need to take care of this planet until He gives us a new one. The reality of the coming restoration of all things is not at odds with the reality of taking care of our planet. But when Jesus returns, He is going to bring heaven with Him. His plan was never so small as to just get you into heaven. But His plan all along has been to bring heaven to earth. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And God has planned from the beginning the restoration of all things. And that means no matter what happens, if nuclear bombs do go off, and if this world just goes crazy, no matter what happens, God has a good plan of restoration for this world. And that no matter how crazy it might get, we can tell the people around us there is a great hope. There is a good hope. That no matter what happens, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if your name is written in God's book of life, you will be part of the new creation. And it means that even if you die of the coronavirus, there's a whole new life waiting for you. A whole new body waiting for you. We are not people of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound or self-disciplined mind, that we think His thoughts. That we need to not get pulled into a spiral of fear with the rest of the world, but we need to stand up and say there is hope. That God has a plan for us, for our future. That when Jesus comes, every injustice will be undone. And everything that is broken will be fixed and made right. And everything that is twisted will be straightened. Jesus is coming, and that is gooder news. And it means that the work that God is doing in your life to make you like Jesus will finally be completed when you see Him face to face. That even physically, you will be like His glorious body. No, women, that doesn't mean you will have a beard. But Scripture says that when Jesus had risen from the dead and He walked among us, He wasn't an apparition. He was in a physical body. He actually had fish and chips with His friends to show them that He was in a physical body. He asked them to touch His scars. He said, I'm here, I'm really with you. And yet, the door was locked and He was suddenly among them. I don't know if He transported in. I don't know if He walked through the walls. But I want whatever He's got. And someday I'm going to have it. Amen? No matter what happens, God has prepared an upgrade for all of us. And lastly this morning, our goodness comes from Him. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Here's the deal. Nobody has to tell an Olympic athlete, hey, you should be eating better. Right? Because a part of the passion and the drivenness of what they're doing to be the best at what they do is they want to put the best things inside of their body. Nobody has to tell them they need to change their diet. They need to change what they're eating. They just want to because this is where they want to go. They want to head towards a gold medal. And so they're motivated. They desire to eat the right things. However, if you had somebody come up to you and start telling you that you should eat better, you might want to hurt them. Right? You might give them some fivefold ministry. Right? But the reality is, the person who wants to live for Jesus, who wants to be like Christ, who wants to live for the Father and pour themselves out for Him the way that He has poured Himself out for them, the person who wants to live full out for Jesus doesn't need someone to come along and try to control their morality, to tell them how they should live and how they shouldn't live and what choices they should make and what choices they shouldn't make. The person who has this hope in them purifies themselves as He is pure. They just want to do what pleases the Father because there's an internal motivation to be like Jesus. The gospel is not a list of what you should and shouldn't do. It is a love story of the Father who gave Himself for you and calls you to come live your life for Him. And all those things that we quote unquote shouldn't do fall away. Because why would I want to live like that when the Father has given Himself for me? Why would I want to play around with something that will poison my spirit when the Father wants me to live an abundant life? So we will purify you. Person will purify themselves. That implies choices, doesn't it? That implies choices. It may feel awkward at first when we're used to a pattern of worldly living, of living for my flesh and my desires and myself. When we're used to a pattern of living that doesn't please the Father, then making those choices at first will feel awkward and maybe even unnatural. That's why Scripture tells us to put on Christ. Not because living for Jesus is a put on. Not because it's phony. Not because it's fake. But because we are choosing to live in a way that brings glory and pleasure to the Father. We are choosing other than our flesh so that we can go where God wants us to go. It's like an Olympic athlete. Do you think they don't want to eat chips too? Right? But they choose because of where they want to go. They purify themselves for the goal. Right? And the Spirit of God on the inside of you and I, when we come to know God as our Abba. I don't mean the Swedish band. But in Hebrew, Abba is like Papa. It's a term that denotes respect and intimacy all at the same time. Abba. And when we come to know God as our Abba, when the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of God on the inside of us, those of you at Connect Groups this week will dig into another scripture that talks about the Spirit of adoption that causes us to cry out from the inside of us, Abba, Father. Because we've entered into a place where we understand how much He loves us. How much we matter to Him that He chose us for adoption into His family. When we know, when the Spirit of God on the inside of us that cries out, Abba, Father, begins to renovate our heart until we start to act and look more like Jesus. Not because we're better than anyone else, but because He is and He's in us. And He's begun a lifelong project to make you Christ-like. Which will only be completed when you stand before Him and see Him as He is. And in an instant, you will be fast-forwarded to the completion date. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask us to stand. And in response this morning, I want to suggest two possible ways, and there may be many more, but I'm going to suggest two possible ways that you might respond to this message this morning. Maybe you've never heard the gospel quite that way. Maybe you've never heard how much the Father loves you and how much He wants you to be part of His family. And maybe you need to respond to that incredible love that came looking for you. And say yes to Jesus. See, the gospel is about us responding to the love of God by surrendering the leadership and control of our lives to the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. It's saying, Jesus, I've been heading in the wrong direction, and I need to do a U-turn. I need to be forgiven. I need to be made right and reconciled with the Father who loves me. He's never stopped loving. He's never stopped wanting that reconciliation. How does it happen? By me saying yes to Jesus. By me inviting Jesus to come, forgive my sin, cleanse my heart, reconnect me with the Father. And suddenly I will be adopted into His family. So maybe you need to respond to that this morning. And maybe for some others, you've struggled with receiving the Father's love. Maybe because of some wounds, some father wounds in your own life. Maybe because there's just other things that have happened that have closed off your heart to receive love from anyone. Today the Father is here and He wants to do a work of healing. Folks, sometimes it's momentary. Most times it's a journey of healing in our hearts so that we can actually receive the love of the Father. So I want to pray a prayer. The team is going to lead us in a song called Good, Good Father. And if you need to respond to the Lord, if you need to maybe come forward and just say, I want prayer that I would receive some healing and that God would begin a journey of restoring me and so that I can receive the love of the Father. Or maybe you need to come to Him for the first time or the tenth time and surrender to the love of the Father again and get your life back in relationship with the One who loves you. So Father God, we thank You for Your incredible love for us. We thank You that You pursued us through obstacle after obstacle from our end. Obstacles we put up because of our rebellion and sin and attitudes and stuff, our greed, whatever it is. God, I pray that today You would give us a revelation of Your incredible love. That You would show us how much You love us. And that You would empower us to receive that love. Come meet with us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.